This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on Red-Hot-Mama.com. This is episode number 67 on this beautiful July 16 of 2007. I'm your host, Amanda, and with me, as always, is my wonderful husband, Johnny. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Good evening.
It's wonderful to have you here.
Yeah.
It's wonderful that you loaded the dishwasher tonight. I really appreciate that. That made a big difference in my life.
That's all it takes.
Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, you know, when the Reds are already up by 6 runs in the top of the 9th, what more can you ask for than for someone to go and load the dishwasher for you?
And they made it to the 9th.
I know. Got out of the 8th. Brought Todd Coffey in a confidence-building kind of a scenario. He only had to get the one out in order to get out of the situation. It wasn't zero pressure. There were guys on base. But
yeah, that's like something that never occurred to Naren. Putting players in where they can succeed.
Set them up to succeed.
Oh, wow.
Oh, what good did that do?
Sorry, there was a play there. A wild throw to second and then an aggressive slide. But there was a throw to second and aggressive slide by...
By who was it?
Hopper, I think.
Oh, yeah, did. Is he safe? He's got to be safe.
Yeah.
Cool. Interesting. yeah, so we're watching the... for anyone
the
who's...
game finishing
who's
up.
A little behind the times, we're watching the Reds play the Braves in Atlanta, and the Reds are up 9-3 in the top of the 9th. And, man, how about that Bobby Livingston, huh?
I've wondered the whole year, like, why isn't he with the team? He's started twice. He did just fine. Even if there wasn't room for him in the rotation, I seem to recall there being room somewhere.
It seems like there was a part of the team that needed some help.
I mean, the bench was terrible.
Wait. I remember what it is. It was catching. That's what Chad Moeller, they had to bring him up 100 million times.
Livingston's gone 4-for-4 tonight.
I know.
He's infinitely better than Chad Moeller.
That's the thing that's crazy, is that, like, if you're talking about the bullpen, obviously he could have helped the bullpen.
Sure.
You're talking about the bench, it's kind of looking like he could have helped out there, too. Because he's had
a
crazy
night.
You know,
La Russa wants him bad now.
No, he can't. La Russa doesn't want him because he doesn't suck with the Reds. La Russa takes the crap from the Reds and turns it into gold. He doesn't take people who are already, like, showing. Of course, that's not to say that the Reds couldn't still screw him up and then make him prime fodder for La Russa. And that would be pretty much in keeping with the history of these teams and their interactions with pitchers.
Yeah.
I think that that we've seen plenty of that. Oh, look, they're intentionally walking Griffey.
Loading the bases for whom?
They're loading the bases.
Is it Phillips batting fourth again tonight?
Yeah, I think it is.
He has been on fire this month.
He's been crazy. But I sort of wonder why they're trying so hard. They're up by 6. Why would you even, like...
You know, just to deny him a shot at a, what, 585? I don't know what he's up to now.
He just hit 587 tonight, which put him alone in 6th place.
6th place of all time, right?
It's kind of shocking how far apart they start getting after you get to a certain point.
Well, if he's at 587 in 6th place, and first is 755.
Yeah.
That's quite a,
I know,
quite a spread. Of course, second is just a few behind that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then, you know, by the time Griffey would get there, assuming that he could play infinitely, we would also then have to assume that Bonds could play infinitely and he'd be up to 2,000.
I don't know. He hasn't hit a home run since... Well, the last one he hit was at the beginning of July off of Aaron Harang.
Oh.
He's gone almost, like, 30 at-bats.
The people following him around waiting to see that next one have to be just, like, ready to slit their wrists. They have to just be going
I don't
nuts.
Know if there are too many people following him. I mean, he's still several away from even tying. Mm. So there's that fun topic.
What else we got?
Well, the trade deadline is coming up. We've got
what is this trade deadline?
15 days till the non-waiver trade deadline.
It seems like I've heard of this, but nothing ever happens near it in Reds land in recent history.
Nothing. Well, last year the trade was well before the trade deadline.
No, it was after it, I believe.
No. The big one was like was several days before the deadline.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he, Krivsky didn't wait. He panicked. Thought they needed help right then.
Oh,
and
man,
sent off
he
his
screwed
offense.
That one up. I'm going to have to look it up now.
Okay. Well, the Reds suck. I think that can be said without any bias, justifiably, objectively there.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no judgment involved there. It's just a statement of fact.
So, they will be getting rid of players, if they're smart.
Well, one would think that they would be the sellers in this scenario, but, you know, we've seen crazier things happen from the Reds management.
I can't decide, really, like, do I want Krivsky to trade the veterans and the few players who could... who really should be traded for some prospects, or do I just, like, think that the Reds would be better off as a team for Krivsky to do nothing?
Well, I think that there are some obvious people that can be traded, though.
There
yeah,
you
you're
go.
Right. It was on July 13 of 2006.
More than 2 weeks before the deadline.
Just
he
a
panicked.
Little over a year
That's
ago,
what he did.
I guess.
He freaked out.
He must have been freaking snowed in that situation.
He totally was.
In that trade. I don't know, man. Well, but like I was saying, I think that there's some obvious places you can get some get some action, get a little bit of trade action going that are kind of gimmies, and that the big one being first base.
Yeah.
With Joey Votto ready to come up and start making appearances at the big league level. Whether he's ready to play there on an everyday basis, I don't know, but
who cares at this point? It's like he's in AAA, he's doing pretty well.
He's doing fine. We saw him play.
He's
got to
try
there.
At some point, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's time to start giving him some at bats and seeing what he can do. And there, you know, Hatteberg's hitting like freaking crazy, man.
Yeah.
So
and
it seems like
they're not. Hatteberg and Konine are not going to be the future.
Oh heavens, no!
You need
younger
guy to help complement, you know, Dunn and.
Well, I don't think that anyone has said that has ever thought that either of them would last beyond this year. It was pretty much a gimme that Votto would be up next year. But it just seems like now is the time. Just go ahead and do something with him and bring Votto up. Because I'm not saying that you're going to get a major league ready, you know, frontline starter for Hatteberg. But, you know, what if you get a semi-decent double-A guy?
Yeah.
And, you know. Just get him off the roster and
don't pay any of his salary.
Give him the opportunity to don't pay any of his salary. No, that's what the trade is. It's giving the other people the opportunity to pay his salary. Hello.
Well, the Dayton Daily News is Reds beat reporter Hal McCoy had an article earlier in the last week about potential trades. He listed a few that he thought were untouchable and shouldn't be traded. I think they're pretty. I'd agree with them.
Okay.
Aaron Harang.
Sure, yeah.
Homer Bailey.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Josh Hamilton.
The thing about Homer Bailey is that you really can't tell what he's going to do yet, because he could still turn out to be a spectacular flop.
Sure, could.
And then you'd look back at this time and say, man, maybe we should have gotten something out of him. But then again, what are you going to trade him for?
I don't think you can trade him for much of anything. I mean, right now it's the Devil Rays going, oh, crap, we shouldn't have...
Yeah, the Reds need pitching, and that's so it doesn't make a whole ton of sense to be trading pitching. The only thing is, I don't know that I'd call him untouchable. It would just depend on what the price was.
The other one McCoy listed as untouchable was Brandon Phillips.
Well, I would certainly like to
he
see
seems
Brandon
like
Phillips
a,
stick around.
Yeah, he's kind of a young. He's really good defensively. He has some great moments offensively, and he's still young enough he could get better.
Well, and I'm not seeing anyone banging on the door of second base.
No.
Going.
He's a good supporting player.
Yeah.
He really is.
Mm-hmm.
Worth keeping. Bronson Arroyo.
I suppose so, yeah.
John Koutlangas.
Though, man, Arroyo's been kind of crummy this year.
No, he's been great lately.
Been pretty
well,
good
not great.
The last
he's been
few,
good lately.
Well, he hasn't been great. He hasn't. I mean, you'd have to win.
I think
to
he's had, like.
Be great.
He's been great for two starts this year or something like that. But, yeah, that was a bit of an over-exaggeration.
I'm just saying.
He's just
that,
been more unlucky than anything.
I'm just saying, if he'd come into town just playing like this last season. Things, you know, would be looking a whole lot different.
Oh, he's just been unlucky mainly this year. I mean, if there were only something he could do to...
Clean up that karma.
Yeah.
Get the good energy
like someone
in his direction.
Like he did something mean
man,
to
that,
someone.
That's old school,
kicked
man.
Kicked someone's dog.
You're talking about... That's old school. I mean...
That is quite a while ago.
Yeah. I mean, He's so stoned, he doesn't remember any of that. What else you got?
John Kutlangus, he's been pretty good.
Yeah,
from
suppose
the,
so.
Yeah. Ryan Friel.
Well,
actually, I don't know about that one.
It depends. It's like always, it's the price.
Yeah, depends on what someone offers for
what somebody's willing to give up for him, you know. Obviously, worth keeping. That's kind of a stupid thing to title this section, because you don't trade people because they're crap. At this point in the game, you don't say, oh, I'm just looking to throw these people away. If you're sellers,
yeah,
you're looking to get a good return on investment, not just, like, throw people out.
Yeah.
So, worth keeping it. I think that it should be more like worth building on or something.
I also list Encarnacion and mm-hmm. Griffey in the worth keeping. I think Griffey is probably an untouchable, in my opinion. I think that he's... When the national media, like, shows clips of the Reds,
mm-hmm.
it's Griffey. Yeah. Griffey is the Reds.
Yeah, he's
nationally.
The star.
And then you've got the chase for 600. He's one of the few things that would bring people to the ballpark.
Well, you know, it was all about Griffey's home runs, according to Brandon Phillips.
There's other things it was about, too.
Yeah.
I think it was mainly, though, he... didn't say this. I think it was mainly Naren not being a very good manager this year.
Well, there was also that. That was a pretty big deal. But no, I'm actually with that. I think that a good home run chase is a relevant thing for a team to pay attention to, because it's the sort of thing fans are interested in. And,
yeah.
And you know, at the end of the day, the team is entertaining the fans.
He also lists Norris Hopper and David Ross as worth keeping.
Huh.
I'm like, Norris Hopper is like a fifth outfielder. The Reds stumble over those.
Yeah,
whatever.
Well, Norris Hopper, he's great. He's fine, but, well, if there's a good price for him, I wouldn't call him.
And David Ross is terrible.
Well.
Getting so sick of him.
Again, it's like it's the whole thing. Like, why would you get rid of him at this point? He's worth so little.
That's true.
And you know that Arroyo would have a freaking hissy fit if they were
Maybe
to...
he'd start being pitching better then.
Well, you know.
Shake things up a little bit.
More likely he would blame all of his woes on his catcher.
Yeah, probably so.
What else you got?
The juicy bits. Who Cal McCoy thinks should be traded? Or
Kay.
At least be bait for trades.
Okay.
Adam Dunn, the first baseman.
Dude, how the hell are they gonna trade Dunn?
I think that'd be silly.
How could they?
You know, there's...
He's paid way
A growing
too much.
Philosophy in baseball is for teams to keep the talent that they know.
Uh-huh.
And, like, their own homegrown talent, because they know what it is, it's not as risky, they've seen it through the system,
mm-hmm.
and it's still cheaper.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I just think it would be a mistake to trade Dunn, because I have no confidence that Kripke would get anything worthwhile in return.
Yeah, that's what it always comes down to. It's like, what's the price?
I mean, I can totally see Dunn being traded for, like, two or three top-of-the-line prospects that are in single A.
Yeah, that Kripke would go on to call nearly major league ready, or...
Or the future. That's, like,
close to
4 or 5 years away. Who gives a crap?
He'd probably call them, he would say they're not middle relievers, they're quality setup men.
Well, that's another area that the Reds have some at least one tradable piece,
mm-hmm.
David Weathers.
Yeah.
I know that could really decimate the bullpen, but...
Well, sort of, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't hate that idea, you know, one of these days Guardado will come back, and not that I'm counting on Guardado to be good in the least, don't get me wrong.
No, but
I
he
mean,
should be able to fill some innings.
Yeah, he'll need a place to pitch, and if Weathers could bring something decent in response... that would be fantastic. He's also got Mike Stanton listed there, which, I mean, if they would have to act fast before he starts collapsing again,
if they could
trick someone into that.
I don't know. I know he's old, but they've got him for another full year signed already.
Hell does Kripke do that? Why do you sign your old ass relievers to multiple
it's
year
not
contracts?
Not just the relievers.
Your old ass players to multiple
Castro.
Years contracts.
That's right.
What the heck?
I don't know.
They're at a point in their career where they need to know to accept one-year contracts.
Yeah. And the great thing about, like, Castro in particular was all the players in AAA that they had that would have been, you know, minimum wage.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
and,
why are we stuck
Stanton,
with Castro?
I think they had plenty of people who could do just as poorly as him for much, much
for
less.
Much less money.
And you never know. You might find someone who does better.
And also lists Todd Coffey. Which I just don't see how you're going to get anything out of Coffee at this point.
I think that would be premature. He had a great year last year.
Yeah.
He struggled off and on this year. But this is his second full year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still young. That's way too early to give up on a reliever. Relievers mm-hmm. are like that. They have good year, bad year.
He had a good year last year. We've already suffered through his bad year this year. Why would we cut bait on him at this point for nothing when we could keep him around and maybe he'll turn it around or maybe he won't, but if he doesn't, you just cut bait on him then.
Yeah, you're not going to save any money trading him.
No. Who else?
Matt Belisle and Kyle Loesch.
I guess.
Who Loesch makes sense. He's arbitration eligible. He signed to a one-year contract.
Uh-huh.
I can see them. They probably should trade him, or try to, because he's not going to be back next year. They couldn't afford him, nor would they necessarily want him.
Mm-hmm. Well, who else is going to pitch, though?
Livingston.
Well, I would like to see that happen, but I have zero confidence that it's going to happen. Plus, I mean, I haven't seen enough of him yet to really know what his character is as a starter. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't give it a try.
That was his hitting.
And as you said, Loesch probably isn't going to be back next year anyway, so there you go.
And then he also lists your favorite, Javi Valentin, as trade bait. I don't see that personally.
No,
he's also low.
How in the hell would they even trade Javi? He hasn't gotten any playing time. I mean, unless like this recent kick in playing time has been just to get his trade value up, in which case he's doing very nicely. But you know what? I wouldn't. I mean,
I think both of the Reds' catchers, and I'm not counting Mueller, have been so mishandled this year.
This year that, almost shouldn't count.
That their value has to be both so incredibly low.
In the case of Javi, and in the case of like so many players that I've liked, on the one hand, I hate to see them leave the Reds organization because it is the team I follow and I like to see them play. On the other hand, I'm almost glad to see them, you know, get out. So I'm like, yes, escape, little bird. Fly away. Go home.
And Norris Hopper just caught a fly ball to left field to end the game.
To end the game? Oh, apparently the Reds scored another one in the ninth because the final score was 10-3. Here, we're talking about trade stuff and didn't even notice the game going on. But, you know, when the score is 9-3 in the top of the ninth, you know, maybe you don't have to pay that close of attention to figure out how this one's going to end.
So hopefully the Krivsky will be able to get something, anything really, out of Conine.
So
and,
what do you think? If he can't...
Hatteberg and...
I mean, it's a no-brainer to do something with Conine and Hatteberg. It's less of a no-brainer, but still pretty obvious, I think, to try to do something with Weathers and Loesch. What if he can't pull it off? What if he does nothing this year, or he does something equally atrocious to the trade? I mean, how much longer? How much rope does Krivsky have?
I don't know. It seems like it's got to be less and less. It's got to be shrinking. Because he threw so much of his stock, his capital, into Naren.
Yeah.
And then Naren just imploded this year. I don't know.
Naren
does he get another managerial choice?
I don't know. Tell you what, Naren did so many obvious things wrong, though. I mean, so many like teachable things wrong where you could have identified what was actually wrong with what he was doing and taught him. And I wonder, was Krivsky even trying those, or did he approve of the things Naren was doing, or did he think it was none of his business?
I know it's minor, but Chad Mueller's back up with the club.
Yeah, I know it. You know, and I saw, I think Smart Elf or something put up a justification of bringing Mueller back up, and I just think it's crap. There isn't any justification.
Well, he wasn't even on the 40-man anymore. They DFA'd him.
Yeah.
They outrighted him to Luke.
Yeah, there's no justification for bringing Mueller back up. There are other guys on the AAA team that deserve a chance.
Way deserve a shot, absolutely.
And I almost wouldn't care who it was. In any event, it might be a little less frustrating if Krivsky weren't so incredibly secretive about everything. I mean, he just won't even let you in on whether he's trying things. You don't even know whether he's considering.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even that he won't tell you the specifics. He won't tell you the generals. He won't tell you, for all we know, he's going home and eating UDF ice cream every afternoon. We don't have any concept of what's going on.
Yeah, as a general manager, he really fails at marketing.
Like, yeah.
At drumming up any interest at all in the team. It's definitely a weak point for him. I appreciate keeping things secret, not letting...
Mm-hmm.
You know, your hot tip or whatever out, but it seems like, you know, the fans should know you're doing something.
A comment along the lines of, you know, we're going to do something to try to make a push for this year, or we're going to be doing the best we can to set us up for, you know, the future. If something vague that at least says, hey, I'm doing something.
Yeah, it's always, it's almost always no comment.
Like, yeah,
it's and like, I don't expect him to say, yes, we're actively trying to cheer Adam Dunn or something like that. That would be ridiculous. That puts the Reds in a weaker position.
However, there are times where you can parlay things like that, you know, where you can make yourself heard, you know, you can let yourself be heard saying something and then, you know, draw up some interest in other markets and put some pressure. I mean, I don't get the feeling like he knows how to work any of that at all.
Yeah, you could definitely use the media.
Yeah, use the media a little to your advantage.
To your advantage, and he uses them for nothing.
No, he seems to be actively hostile to them. Yeah.
I don't think he's hostile. He's just quiet. Maybe he's shy.
Maybe he's shy. We've seen him in person several times. He doesn't come off as shy in the least. He comes off as kind of a crank, though.
That's because he shaved his mustache.
I tell you what, you got to get the mustache back. Everything comes up roses when he brings back the handlebars.
So I'm hoping that he can actually come through and get something decent for like Hatterberg and Conine and maybe Weathers and Loesch. But I'd really prefer them to keep Dunn and Griffey. I think Griffey's still got enough for the rest of his contract to make it worthwhile. What they really need to do, I think, though, and this would be bold, is I don't know who would be takers, but they should really actively pursue a trade of pitching and bullpen coaches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, who the hell would be takers? I don't think that you're going to trade. It's true, and we've talked about this before, is that it's just too freaking often that Reds pitchers suck in Cincinnati, leave, and go be good somewhere else.
And sometimes it's not just the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, several of them. It seems like they're all going to the Cardinals, but there's Ryan Dempster, who went and he was good. And then isn't there someone over on the East Coast, or am I just imagining that?
There probably is. There's
it's just like it, some you know. Oh, the common thread here isn't the pitchers.
Is it Todd Jones, who's now the great closer for the
Todd
Tigers
Jones.
Again?
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I was thinking of. Just like this is not you know what's the common thread here, guys. I think maybe we need to stop firing hitting coaches, and start considering looking into some. And the thing is that I'm not talking about firing people. I'm talking about hiring people. You know, and yes, hiring people does require firing people, but it's not just a matter of like, well, let's just get rid of this guy and bring in whoever is next. Let's go find someone with some actual skill.
Well, it also can't be too much of a coincidence that the relievers or the pitchers go down to Louisville after sucking up in the majors and are great. I mean, I know the level of play there is lower, but still, you know, Majeski goes down there, he's lights out.
Yeah, it seems like it's just too much to be.
And he was completely worthless up in the majors. There's got to be a difference somehow.
Yeah. So really what they need to do is they need to adopt the sort of the corporate strategy. They need to go snipe someone from a different organization. I don't know what kinds of... They need to get some headhunters. They need to get some, you know, corporate spies. Well, maybe not that. That might be illegal. But
baseball espionage.
I bet there
is. It's not just stealing signs.
I bet there is baseball espionage. And then, you know, then they could go and, you know, get someone who has, like, you know, some skill at coaching pitchers and get them in there to do a really good job and turn around some of the people that have some moderate amount of skill, you know, talent, instead of requiring people to overcome their pitching coaches in order to succeed. That's just not right. So, what else we got? We blathered on long enough about
that? Around the Central, the standings have changed a little bit. The top three are still Milwaukee, Chicago, and St. Louis.
And St. Louis has been...
But Pittsburgh has now jumped over Houston for fourth place.
Wow. Go Pirates.
And, of course, the Reds.
Now, we were watching a Houston-Chicago game at BW3 this weekend when... before the Reds were on. As it turned out, the Reds weren't on at all, on TV at all that night. We were thinking about staying at BW3 to see the game, but good thing
we didn't,
because I would have just been trashed, and we would have spent a lot of money, and we wouldn't have seen the game at all. But in any event, we were really pulling for Houston. We're like, oh, gotta you know, we're cheering for mediocrity. When it's another game in your division, you're always cheering for the underdog. Bring down the people that are have the better record than your team. But as it turned out, Chicago was doing some ass whooping that night.
They sure were. And then I think they beat them again the next night.
It was.
The Astros have lost four in a row.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
The Cards are showing to some life. They they lost 2 of 3 to Philadelphia, but they did peg the Phillies with their 10,000th franchise loss.
That's right, and I tell you what,
they did it with
style.
Man,
and I'm not
more
talking
home
about
runs
the Cardinals
that I've seen the Cardinals do.
I'm talking about the Phillies. If you're going to lose with style. They went out in a blaze of unglory.
Apparently Pujols has found his home run stroke again, so the Central has that to look forward to. And Milwaukee, Sheets is injured again.
Awesome. Well, that's only going to help them. Well, look, the Reds are only 14.5 games back, which is, you know, much better than the 18 that they were back for a while there.
They're still the worst team in the National League, though. Only the second worst in baseball, though, so.
Oh, yeah? Who's worse than them in the AL?
Tampa Bay.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, Tampa Bay might is right there around being on pace for 100 losses. They've really gone after it suddenly in the last week or so.
As bad as the Reds have been for, gosh, years now, it still seems like, pride-wise, they have a lot more to be proud of than, like, the Tampa Bays of the world. But, you know, maybe I'm just biased. Maybe if I were a Tampa Bay fan, I would be sitting down there in Florida doing my podcast going, you know, at least we're not the Reds. That team sucks.
Maybe.
Because, you know,
we'd have to be in Florida and Tampa Bay fans to find that out.
Let's not
And
try
I don't
it.
Think you're looking for jobs in Florida.
No, I sure am not. No, in fact, but I have been getting calls from people wanting to place me on 6-month contracts in Minneapolis, which at first I thought was maybe just a mistake because this guy had a very heavy accent, and I thought perhaps he had just misunderstood Indianapolis for Minneapolis.
Sure, that, yeah.
Like accent to the degree that I wondered if he was calling from a different country. like this is a side story, but when I was in college, I had an email pen pal in Japan. And I told her, she asked where I was from, and I told her I was from Indiana. And she said, oh, I hear your food is very spicy there. And I'm like, I thought about that for a long time. Like, no.
That's
India.
That's a country?
So, you know, my idea that perhaps that this guy could have misunderstood was not based entirely on nothing at all. But then he called back.
Not based entirely on racism.
Not based at all on racism. Not based entirely on racism, only partially. So he calls me back this morning wanting to know, after I told him I would not relocate to Minneapolis, wanting to know if I was interested in relocating to Portland, Oregon.
Because that's so much closer. Jeez.
Like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see where he's going to call and ask me if I want to relocate to tomorrow. Maybe it'll be Tampa Bay. Maybe I'll take him up on it.
Please don't.
I'd be moving down there myself. Going back up to visit you guys on weekends.
Yeah, get a job, you bum.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
I know.
So, is that enough?
That is.
I think that we've gone on long enough. So, we're looking forward to continuing the series with the Braves.
Yep.
Hopefully they'll continue the level of play that they had today, because, man, that was really entertaining to
watch
for me.
Well, they're not going to have a pitcher go 4-for-4 every night, so they're going to have to.
The Reds aren't going to have a pitcher go 4-for-4?
No.
But will the Braves have a pitcher go out in the first inning every night? Because that was badass. I loved it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll be looking forward to that.
And then they take off for Florida.
Oh, 4 games in Florida. They're going to get sunburned.
If they haven't developed decent tans by this point in the baseball season.
Todd Coffey's not getting a tan.
He is a ginger.
He's a ginger and he's shaved. So, I mean, that's all
oh,
less
that's
protection
unprotected.
He has for his face. All right. So we'll be looking forward to that. And keep on hanging in there, Reds fans. And go Reds!
Show your love for the show by leaving a comment at iTunes or voting for us at Podcast Alley. Or leave your own rant about the dysfunctional Reds and the Red Hot Diaries at our website at red-hot-mama.com. And you can always drop us a line at rhm@red-hot-mama.com.